Blog Talk Radio. Blog.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. To another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. We are going to get started in just a moment, but first I want to remind you of our website. Oh, by the way, today is January 6, 2024. This is our second program of 2024, and today we have another good program for you to listen to and to participate in if you wish. Up on your screens are the call-in numbers, and I haven't reminded people of this for quite a while, but if you would like to call in and if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, you are welcome to do so. And our call-in number is 646-716-8390, and you can do that at your leisure. We also have websites. Our primary website is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry. What's going on here? Spirit of Truth Ministry. No, the blue cable's fine. Yeah. Dr. Don, if you can hear me, come here. Let me do that. Dr. Don, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3. I don't know what's going on. I think we're okay. Anyway, our primary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net, and there you will find loads and loads of good reading, primarily by Rick Sterling, but you will also find a copy of our book that you can read for free. It is entitled "The Spy Rick Sterling and Me, Dennis Neufeld," and we hope that you will go there and do that, read that, because it is the primer. Okay. It is our primary website. Our secondary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and there you will find lots of good reading by Rick and the rest of us, including some historical data and a lot of different areas where you can go and be challenged by what you read. Our Facebook page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and you can go there each Friday and each Sabbath for some pre-reading that you can do there. And we're back up, Don. Don said can barely hear us. Yeah, something was going wrong, and we fixed it. So anyway, let's have prayer, and we'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us today a peaceful time of reflection, of understanding, of learning, whereby we will grow closer to you by growing closer to the truth. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go over here and get Dr. Don up for his greeting. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you today?
Good morning. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm looking forward to a good study.
Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick.
It is a good morning. Welcome, everyone. Hope you found yesterday's study thought-provoking and interesting. We will continue on with the in the that subject, and what the subject is how did all of this catastrophe come about? We get the idea that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the serpent, the dragon, many, many names he goes by, just kind of on a whim decided, you know, I want this world for my own. You know, God has plenty of worlds and he's got the whole universe, and this is what I deserve. So he just took it. What I see is what indicates that he put a lot of thought into what he wanted to do. And the thought he worked out in a legal pattern, following laws that we have not been privy to, but you might say, well, then how would you know that that's what he did? Well, it's because of what God has done in response to what the devil did. And a key element where I got the idea that Satan actually knew what laws God follows in the universe, and God follows those laws because he is a God of order and a God of law. God is not above the law. God is the law. And what I mean by that is, for instance, there are people who follow a certain set of I don't want to say laws, it just there are things they wouldn't do, or there are things that they would do, and they do that because for them that is right and proper.
Guidelines.
And God does the same thing. And the devil knew. He knew, and that's how he formulated his plan, based on what he knew God's response would have to be, because God would be following his own guidelines, if you will. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to 29, there's it's kind of an interesting dialogue. There's a man who is blind and mute. It says dumb in the text, but that's what they refer to as being mute, unable to speak. So he couldn't see and he couldn't speak. And he is called a demoniac, which means he was under the control of a demon or demons. And it says, they brought to him a blind and dumb demoniac, and he cursed him so that the dumb or mute man could speak and see. All the people were astounded and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, the man cast out devils only through Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So, first of all, the religious leaders, probably mainly the Pharisees there, think about what they are saying. First of all, they know who this man, the Messiah, the Son of God, they know who he is. But they don't want him to be who he is. So they are working to try and develop a case against him. And what they are actually saying here, and knowing it, is they are calling Almighty God, the Father of the man standing before them who has just cast out the demon. They're calling Almighty God Beelzebub because they are saying that he casts out demons in the name of Beelzebub.
And remember one of the other things that Jesus said about these people. Said to their face, you are of your father, the devil.
That's right. This is how desperately these religious leaders in Israel were. Why? Because they were the ones serving Beelzebub. And Beelzebub, or the devil, wanted to completely remove any element that would make the people believe that this might be or could be or must be the Messiah. Knowing what was in their mind, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is heading for ruin. And no town, no household divided against itself can stand. Now, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. So how can his kingdom stand? And if it is through Beelzebub that I cast out devils, through whom do your own experts cast them out? Let them be your judge then. But if it is through the Spirit of God that I cast out devils, then know that the kingdom of God has overtaken you. Interesting choice. Overtaken. What, in what context would you use the word overtaken in speaking of a kingdom?
Absorbed it.
Conquered.
Conquered.
The kingdom of God has overtaken you if it is through the Spirit of God that he casts out devils, demons. Or again, how can anyone make his way into a strong man's house and burgle his property, steal his goods, unless he has tied up the strong man first? Then he can burgle his house.
Overtaken, come up on suddenly, or unexpectedly. Catch up with and pass while traveling in the same direction.
So, the strong man, what do you think he would be referring to? Because he's talking about the that the kingdom of God has overtaken you. And then he talks about binding the strong man. He's speaking in spiritual terms. So he's not advocating that if you want to successfully steal from someone who is stronger than you, don't break into their house and try and steal it while they're there. You need to bind them. Well, how would you bind a strong man? Because it seems to me like if you were wanting to bind him, you would be tossed out on your ear.
You'd have to do it while he's asleep.
And you'd have to do it in numbers. What if the Son of God was describing what the devil did to Almighty God? You see, the devil stole this earth and everything in it and on it from God.
And I'll use another word here. He stole the election. God was God, and he stole that title.
Cabal had almost overtaken the whole world.
What he's talking about here, what is, he's talking about what they have been accusing him of in casting out a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And who has authority to cast out demons, right? Now, how is authority attained or given? In other words, you know, someone says, well, I'm an authority of the law. So an authority of the law would know what the law is that they were an authority on, right?
Yes.
So the Son of God is saying, I am doing this based on law. I have authority over the demon. I can cast him out. By whose authority do your, I think he says sons, cast them out? So now they have a quandary. They have to answer a legal question. Who has authority to cast out demons? And he says, if Satan is casting out Satan, his kingdom is divided against itself. What does divided against itself mean?
Civil war.
Civil war. Does it mean insurrection?
It means treason.
Yeah. Now, he just suggests that if their sons are casting out demons, which is what he, the Son of God, just did, yet they're saying he's doing it under the authority of Beelzebub, and so the Son of God says, well, then on whose authority do your sons cast them out? And if they cast them out by the authority of God, then what? The kingdom of God has overtaken you. So what is he really saying? Your sons have been overtaken by the kingdom of God if they are casting out demons.
Because demons don't cast out themselves.
Kingdom is cannot be divided against itself. You either have...
Unless it's all for show and it's just a movie.
Unless it's all for show and just a movie. That's right, Larry.
That's what's going on.
That's right. There are deliverance ministries in evangelical realms where there are demons being cast out. You can hear them talk. You can see the contortions that the individual who's possessed goes through. And, you know, the Catholic Church has
exorcists.
They have training for exorcists. And several priests, from what I have read, especially in the book Hostage to the Devil that was written by Malachi Martin, there have been priests who have been severely injured by not doing the proper procedure.
Not following the script.
On whose authority are they casting out demons? They're calling on the name of Jesus and the name of God. What is it, though, that you need in order to have authority over demons?
The truth.
The truth, but what does he infer here? Your sons, by what authority do your sons cast out demons? And if it is not Beelzebub, then understand, the kingdom has overtaken. We're talking about law. The kingdom of God operates on law, and God operates according to law. So when we go to the strong man example, we're talking about law. The strong man is bound by law. When Satan lied to the nations and took this world to be his own, God would not just, well, first of all, God, why didn't God just prevent him from doing it? God knew what he was going to do. Why didn't he just prevent him from doing it? Well, he couldn't punish him before the act. He wouldn't punish him before the act. But then when he did act, he had broken the law. Why didn't he execute him at that point in time? Well, we don't have any record of a conversation that God had with Satan before he sent him to this world. We don't have any record of that. So we wouldn't know whether God had warned Satan that if he decided to make himself God and be worshipped as such and start to do his own will in the world, that he would be put to death. But how would you put to death a being who is eternal? You can put a flesh and blood being to death, but a spiritual being is an eternal being. How would you put them to death? And then the question arises, if God knew ahead of time, and he did, if he knew before he even created Satan that he would be the one who would foment insurrection against God and his throne, and take what was not his to have. Couldn't God have just as easily not created Satan? And therein comes law.
Yes.
If God is going to create beings with the power to choose, the power to study and learn, draw conclusions, follow a sequence of information, Satan would know what the divine universal law would be, right? And so he could figure a way that would allow him to do this insurrection and bind God so that he wouldn't be able to immediately act. And then if he could successfully work his plan to its ultimate outcome, he would have the world for his own. if you're going to steal from the strong man, you need to first bind him. That's why this is here, I believe, is the Son of God is telling those there and these Pharisees and religious leaders, the reason you are able to do what you are doing and say what you are doing is because Beelzebub is using the law to his advantage.
There's some incredible parallels between what's going on in the world today.
I wonder why.
Probably because the devil's involved and God's involved.
And that's why I'm doing this.
In other words, there's a difference between doing something easily, if you're able to, and doing it strategically and minimizing the collateral damage and the beneficial outcomes. So that's probably what's at play here.
What we have to take into consideration is everything that is involved. We have flesh and blood people here on earth. We have spiritual beings here on earth and in the heavens. God, the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God are spiritual beings, and they are sovereign. What Satan is attempting to do through law, legal matters, is to take from God what that which is not his to take. So what God had to do was he had to have a plan, which he has had from the beginning. He had to have a plan that would turn the earth and its people and everything back to him, but it had to be accomplished through law.
And so the devil had to think of a way of getting rid of the law in order to keep the world.
Well, not so much getting rid of the law.
Well, making it a non-effect.
But not allowing the law to return it to God to ever happen.
Right. And he did that through grace by faith.
So he needed to make the people of earth believe wholeheartedly in a lie. That would bind the strong man.
Right.
The lies bind the strong man. Now, it doesn't literally bind God, but what it does is that if the people choose to believe the lie, then God has no authority over them.
No recourse.
Well, yeah, no recourse at that time.
Right,
yes.
At that time.
So what God needs, because he created Satan, knowing what he would do, but he created him anyway, because God does not allow, according to law, God does not allow his foreknowledge to limit his creation. So if he's going to create eternal beings with the power of choice and intellect to be able to study law and study information so that they could put together a process by which they could actually successfully, at least temporarily, take something from God that wasn't theirs to take. What the devil took was authority.
And when you take the authority or the prerogatives of God, what is that called?
Treason.
Treason. Blasphemy.
Seditious treason and blasphemy. So God was not culpable in sin coming to this earth because he had created the being who brought sin and the insurrection. But God has a lawful plan to restore his authority over the people of earth. And just as Satan made his own choice to do what he did, and it was all based on his knowledge of the law and using it to his advantage, God's plan has a very similar process to restore his authority. In this case does not include, is not done through a spiritual being, because it can't be. It has to be done through a flesh and blood being. So what he needed was someone who studied the law and the prophets and the testimony of the Son of God, so that they would be able to figure out, just as Satan did, he figured out how he could successfully accomplish his insurrection plans. This flesh and blood human being would see how God could successfully restore his authority over earth. And he would see the necessity of flesh and blood beings, humans, for God to do it. It's in your face. I mean, I don't understand why it can only be one person who sees this, but it is. Yes, Larry.
I'm just thinking modern day parallels. By following a lawful legal process, there can be a greater amount of discovery than there otherwise would be, which benefits the citizens.
Exactly.
Who are uncertain.
Exactly. So what is the key? What is the key? Turn to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll read verse 35. I think that's what it is. My eyes are really bothering me today. Jesus made a tour through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing all kinds of diseases and sickness. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Now turn to Matthew 24. Verse 14. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed to the whole world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. The end of what? The end of the insurrection. The end of the authority of the evil one. It is the good news of the kingdom, or good news is gospel. So the Son of God went through all the towns and villages and preaching in the synagogues the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Testimony is the gospel of the kingdom. And it is the gospel of the kingdom that allows God to form his kingdom on earth. And when he has a kingdom on earth, he can go to war against the kingdom of the evil one and lawfully bring it to an end. Then we go to Matthew 28. We read the last verse, verse 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them. Teach who? All nations. You see, and I, what we read in Genesis 24, 14, this good news of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world to all nations.
That's Matthew 24.
Matthew, yes.
Yeah. And by the way, that there is a interesting word here, baptizing them in the name. Now, in the name of applies to everything that follows.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually say in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has a name, it is a separate entity.
And a being rather than just a power that
exactly.
indwells.
And a being, exactly.
That's right. That's what I've been saying. And teach them, all nations, to observe all the commands. What are commands?
Definite instructions.
Laws.
Laws.
I have, that I gave you. And know this, that I am with you always. Yes, to the end of time. Has time ended yet?
Nope.
So if he is not with us now, then he was not being truthful to his disciples. Just sending them out on their own and that was it. No. And he did not limit the disciples' scope of work to the Jews, as one popular apostle says they were. All nations. So what is it that allows God to win the spiritual war and restore his authority over the world. Those who read, learn, and practice the gospel of the kingdom.
And just as it says in John 17, become, and by doing that, they become one with the Father through the Holy Spirit.
What was the expectation of the Jews that they would have when their Messiah appeared?
That their nation would become the number one nation in the world and everyone would come to them for instruction in righteousness, I guess you would call it.
He would sit on the throne,
sit on the throne of David
in Jerusalem, and all nations would come to Jerusalem according to the text that says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. So what has God told us about the end of time? If he has a kingdom on earth, or if he knows he will have a kingdom on earth when he needs a kingdom on earth, things will work out much differently than what is expected for the end of time. But interestingly enough, they will work out exactly as the Jews had expected from their Messiah when he came to earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only this time, he doesn't come down to Jerusalem. When he comes down, he brings the new Jerusalem with him. And he will rule the nations from Jerusalem. And all nations will come to Jerusalem to worship the true God, who has won back authority through a lawful process. And ultimately, at the end of the 1,000 years, when everyone who has ever lived has made their decision for Satan or for Almighty God, our sovereign Lord, and those who have decided for Satan will receive the judgment for that decision.
Does that make Revelation a book that says we can do this the hard way, or we can do this the easy way?
Well,
depending on what you...
It's better than
easy,
the hard way.
I meant to say easier, and then I forgot to put it that way. Painful way.
What Revelation is saying is it goes along with all the information from Genesis, all the way through. The law, the prophets, and the testimony of the Son of God. What Revelation shows is that God wins through the lawful process, which when all is said and done and his victory is won, people will say, God is just. He is a God who works through law. He is not above the law.
Or without it.
Or without it.
This demands a law. It demands it. And people who say, and many people in the Christian church today say that you can have justice without the law because the law no longer applies. But you can still have justice. That is an oxymoron.
Well, they say that, which I just kind of boggles my mind, that the same insidious lie which was so successful with the man and the woman in the garden is the same lie that is being used today with Christians, and they believe it wholeheartedly. And that lie is, if you disobey God, he won't put you to death. Now, when the New Jerusalem comes down, those who are not living according to the law are not going to be instantly put to death. In fact, they will be given 1,000 years. 1,000 years of living here on the earth with the New Jerusalem here. Satan and his evil spiritual cohorts all locked up and away from being able to tempt the nations. People will be able to make a unbiased decision for their eternal existence.
Now, that 1,000 years, does that mean every individual person still alive at the beginning of it will live 1,000 years, or does that mean collectively that group of people who are still undecided will be given 1,000 years,
well,
and some of which will not live that long?
In Revelation 22, it tends to indicate that there will be the tree of life and the river of life. And there will be fornicators, adulterers, dogs, and those who love lies and live lies outside the city. Now, they can change, I guess. If they want to, that's what the plan is. They can change their ways. Those who don't change will join with the devil when he's released from his imprisonment, and he and all of his spiritual cohorts and all of the humans who have ever throughout the whole time of humanity on earth will join together with him, and they will make a advance on the holy city, the New Jerusalem.
So that 1,000 years is different than the 40 years in wandering in the wilderness, where it was designed to eliminate a group of people, not and produce a new crop,
right?
Rather than give the existing ones that amount of time to learn.
Now there is a first resurrection and a second resurrection. And the first resurrection will be those who did not love lies and lying and lived to the best of their knowledge according to God's will.
And according to the truth that they knew at the time.
So it looks like they will be here on earth during that 1,000 year. I know this is new for a lot of you. It's new for me, and I'm still working through it. But the there are the parts of Revelation that never made sense to me now make sense to me with this new understanding of the new reality.
And not all of Revelation has been actually written down, with the people apparently God accepting the people's choice that will give them the less difficult road to the same outcome. More information is still pending on how that will work out in Revelation 10.
The seven thunders. But I think we've had kind of a preamble to that with the understanding that Revelation has two realities. One is the Great Tribulation reality, and the other is the reality without the Great Tribulation and the coming of the King and the New Jerusalem. There will be, it says, in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound, God's secret intention will be made known. God's secret intention is that he will win according to law in a lawful manner, and he will restore his authority over the earth.
One of the things that law does for God is it makes people who say that God is capricious, it makes that idea of none effect. God is subject to the same law that the people are.
It is possible that the Great Tribulation scenario would have happened if the trustworthy and wise enough bondservant was not trustworthy nor wise enough. And paused his work. The indication that I get is God knew, and I know that God knew, but God knew what he would do. And so he was not surprised, I guess. But he acted in a manner in which he always acts so you would know that he hasn't predestined any of this to happen at all. We are on that threshold. We are in the days of Elijah.
And we indeed are coming to new understandings, which would indicate that that's where we are. Thank you, Rick, for being here today. Thank you all for listening. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around. And we encourage you to go to our Facebook page as well, Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a happy Sabbath, a good day. We'll see you all next week, next Friday and next Sabbath. So long for now.